Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined by Leo Homan. He is one of the really impressive investigative reporters of our time, these days writing for WorldNet Daily as its news editor. His beat in particular is the whole issue of sort of the, well, I think of it as the Muslim Brotherhood calls it civilization jihad, the effort to overwhelm, particularly using techniques like immigration and hijra and the demographic jihad to accomplish through population transfers and the like what they aspire to, which is imposing on us, among others, Sharia, their ultimate objective. Leo Homan is the author of an important book on this subject, Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and Resettlement Jihad. Leo, welcome back. It's so good to have you.
Thanks for having me again, Frank. Glad to be here with you today.
Always a pleasure. I want to cover with you a couple of topics that you've been reporting on lately, Leo, that all seem to me to sort of help tease out examples of what's afoot here in this immigration and resettlement jihad business. Perhaps we could start with a particularly striking story about the community out in Twin Falls, Idaho. They've just recently had a terrible incident and are responding in a remarkable way. Talk about that, if you would, please.
Yes, Frank. What happened in Twin Falls, Idaho last year was really sad, and the response to it was pathetic. We had a small, little special needs 5-year-old girl who was sexually assaulted in a laundry room of the apartment complex where she lived by 3 refugee boys, one from Sudan, age 14, and 2 younger Iraqi boys. The case went to juvenile court, and some bloggers had reported on it originally, and then myself at WND and Breitbart took it up from there. The media that did cover it, we were excoriated by the mainstream media, and we were vindicated, however, just recently, earlier this month, when the boys pleaded guilty, and the whole case was just sort of a harbinger of what's to come, in my opinion, of the stealth invasion. We've seen it in Europe playing out in much larger detail in Germany, Sweden, with all of the sexual assaults, and then the media covering it up.
Yeah. And how has the community of Twin Falls, Idaho, responded to this horror and to the lessons, as you say, of what's been happening along the same lines in Europe?
Unbelievably, Frank, the community has not stepped up to the plate. Those who were outraged by the incident have been branded as bigots and Islamophobes and marginalized, even though they did have large numbers. And the city council and the local media and the establishment there has actually, just this week, the council voted with support of the community, with the establishment of the community, voted to make themselves a, quote, welcoming city, which is one step below a sanctuary city.
And I fear what will flow from it. Leo Homan, let me ask you about another community in which refugees have become much in evidence, but even more importantly, politically dominant, and that is Ward 6 of the city of Minneapolis. Tell us a little bit about what's happening there.
Yes, last week in Ward 6 of Minneapolis, they had a Democratic caucus meeting. And they held it in a gymnasium and were surprised by the turnout, the Democrats were. They had to close it down because there were too many people who showed up at this caucus meeting, over 400 people crammed in this tiny gymnasium. But even more interestingly, there was no English being spoken at this caucus meeting. It was dominated by Somali refugees, and the language of those at this podium, the speakers, and everyone shouting, and, you know, these caucus meetings can get rather raucous, but it was all done in the Somali language. And so if you had been an American Democrat at this meeting, you would not have even known what the issues were or what you were being asked to vote on. It was really, really amazing.
Wow. And what was the upshot of the meeting?
Well, the firefighters actually were called in and shut down the meeting because it was it actually had been too many people. Not only were there too many people in the gymnasium, but they had become so raucous and violent to the point where Somali women in hijabs were seen with bloody noses. There was blood being cleaned off of the gymnasium floor, and it was shut down, and no delegates were actually chosen. They had to reschedule it outside that venue.
Wow. But there's evidence that that community, now having a large and active and even aggressive Somali population, may well have representation reflecting it going forward. A chilling thought.
Yes, Ward 6 and also Ward 9 is not totally dominated yet, but there is also a young man named Mohammed who is running in Ward 9 as well. So you have one ward of the city completely dominated by Somalis and another ward in the process of being conquered.
Leo, let me turn to one other venue that is exhibiting an upsurge in refugees and other Muslim migration. And not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily, unless they are seeking to bring Sharia into this country, in which case that's, of course, very much at odds with our constitution and freedoms. There is an individual by the name of Abdul El Said in Michigan who has announced his intention to run for governor. Give us the backstory on that, if you would, Leo.
Yes, Dr. El Said, if he is successful, would become our nation's first Muslim governor. He's running on the Democratic Party ticket in Michigan, which, in my opinion, Frank, Minnesota and Michigan are ground zero for Islamic conquest in this country. But it doesn't seem like a conquest when it is in the early stages, and that's what we're seeing in Michigan. Mr. Dr. El Said is a very accomplished, very young man. He's only 32 years old. In some ways, he makes Barack Obama look unqualified, very much less qualified in when he was in his early stages of becoming a known politician. This man is a Rhodes Scholar. He graduated from Oxford and has become an epidemiologist. As you know, the Flint water crisis was big in Michigan, so he's tapped into that, and he's also very outspoken against President Trump. And he's all about diversity and inclusiveness. Basically the same message that we heard from Hillary Clinton in the last election: diversity is our strength, love and compassion for all, regardless of what they believe. He's into he utters many of these platitudes in his speeches. The only difference, Frank, is he's much smoother, and the message sounds much more appealing coming from him than it did from Hillary Clinton, because he is so well packaged.
Yeah. Let me ask you about how you see the new lineup in the Democratic National Committee. Tom Perez, a longtime enabler of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Keith Ellison, a man who has been closely associated with it, a Muslim himself, for years. And their willingness, their announced intention, as I understand it, to use the machinery of the Democratic National Committee and Democratic Party to try to advance the candidacies of people like Abdul El Said.
Absolutely. I think what we're going to see, Frank, in the months and years ahead, because Dr. El Said is running for the governorship, which will be decided in November 2018. So I think we're going to see a lot of outside of Michigan, out-of-state Democrats campaigning and voicing support for him. We're going to see a lot of money raised by the DNC and Tom Perez. They're going to really use a lot of their political and financial capital to promote him to the highest possible extent. And I would be very surprised if he does not, in the end, win the Democratic nomination for the governorship of Michigan. And from there, it would probably be a toss-up as to whether he wins in November. But we will see no expenses spared in promoting this candidate. Expect to see him perhaps on Sunday morning news shows, being prominently displayed on national TV shows, and the DNC doing everything in its power to promote him.
We will be watching this closely, as I know will you at WND. Leo, thank you so much for your time today. We'll talk with you again soon. Next up, Fred Feitz joins us. We'll hear about an homage to the longest-serving CIA agent in the agency's history. That and more, straight ahead.
to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.